The message is the coming great tribulation, taken from Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 28. Well, we try to cover up to 25 today, and the few verses we would leave it for the next time. The great tribulation is mentioned once in the New Testament, in this text that we have read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Our Lord Jesus, at the Olivet Discourse, said this: "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." There would be coming in the future a time of tribulation. The word there means a pressing together, a pressure, an affliction, a time of distress. Never before. The root word of the word of the tribulation there is means to break. The stress will be so great at that time that it reaches a breaking point. And the Blessed Spirit also included the adjective great to describe an unprecedented period of affliction and suffering for all mankind that is to come in the near future. What is the purpose of this great tribulation? Well, God is going to judge the kingdom of the Antichrist during that tribulation time, just like when he judged Egypt during the time of Pharaoh, when Moses delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. God sent 10 plagues. You would find, as you study the tribulation account, the plagues that would come upon this world in the last days would be very similar to the plagues that took place during the time when God judged Egypt. What was the purpose of that judgment? Well, it was to point the people to acknowledge their Creator. Men and women who have gone astray, who have rejected their God, their Creator. Remember, the Egyptians worshipped the Nile. God gave to them the Nile River. It was the river of life, because from the Nile they receive the water. Right? The Nile floods, you know, every year. And when it overflows its banks, they are able to collect the water in order that it may provide the needful irrigation resources and nourishment in the desert place. Instead of acknowledging the God who gave the Nile, the Egyptians worship the Nile River. And the Bible tells us that there will come a time when there would arise a man, the Bible called him the Antichrist, who would demand the world to worship him to the rejection of the God who created them. Pharaoh demanded that worship. He was put down. The Antichrist too demanded that worship. And you would see in the great tribulation time how the Lord would come to show to the world who is the living and true God. In the Old Testament, the Great Tribulation is described by many terms, or in the Bible itself, in the Old Testament, it is called the Day of the Lord. It's called the Indignation, the Day of God's Anger, the Day of God's Vengeance, the time of Jacob's trouble, the overspreading of abominations. And that's what Jesus would begin in verse 15 of our text to describe this great tribulation. He described it as a time of the overspreading of abominations. Daniel 9:27. And the prophet Daniel also calls this time the time of trouble such as never was. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. It is also called the 70th week in Daniel chapter 9. The time of the end, Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. The great day of his wrath, the hour of his judgment, the end of this world. Here you see again the whole story of repeating itself, of how mankind rebel against the living God who made them. Remember the first rebellion? How did God quell it? It was by a flood of waters that engulfed the entire earth. All men perished, except Noah and his family of eight. And then men began again to rebel against their Creator. In Genesis chapter 11, you see how men tried to build a tower that goes all the way up to heaven. You would find that the Antichrist who would arise would be such a man. He would demand the world to worship him. Very frightening time. And he would rule with fear. The great tribulation, the Bible tells us, will last for 7 years. And the 7 years are divided into two halves of 3.5 years each. Why am I saying this? It is in order that we may compare Scripture with Scripture to give you a background so that you may understand what is it that our Lord is speaking here in our text. And the first half is a time of peace, a man-brokered peace. It will begin when the Antichrist will make a peace treaty with Israel. You know, the Middle East is plagued with war. Right? We are reading in the news. The day of rage, how that war never ceases. But the Bible tells us that there will arise a man who would be able to broker that peace between the Arabs and Israel. And this would take place during that time when the Antichrist would arise. And we have been studying so far the last 2 weeks about the signs leading to the coming of the Lord. These signs are leading, as it were, to the rising, the revelation, the Bible says, of this man of sin, this man of perdition. And he would make a covenant with Israel and break it at the midpoint in the 3.5 year. And this covenant that is broken is predicted in Daniel 9:27. Israel would be allowed to sacrifice and worship in peace for 3.5 years. But after 3.5 years, Antichrist will break the peace treaty and persecute Israel. Daniel 9:27b. This is where our text leads us, right in the middle of the Great Tribulation, in verse 15. Three thoughts for us today. Antichrist desecrating the temple, verse 15. Severe distress of the Jews. They had to take cover in the mountains, verses 16 to 23. And verses 24 to 25, I would stop there for today. Lying signs and wonders. So these three thoughts for our meditation. Antichrist desecrating the temple. This is where our introduction is leading us. There is in the history of the Jewish people a time of great tribulation that was predicted in a vision, in the words that God gives to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, shall we see the slides? You recall last week, we began our study with this map that showed us where the Mount of Olives is. It is in the Mount of Olives that our Lord Jesus Christ would speak these words to us. And it is about a 10-15 minutes walk to the temple. Right? Jesus has left the temple for the last time at the end of Matthew chapter 23. Right? And we are seeing here Jesus describing to us what would happen during that time. And you would recall from Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, if you turn there to the Word of God, to help us to see the context whereby our Lord gives these words in Matthew 24:15. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Can we have the next slide? This is the picture of what Daniel is speaking about. You see, the year is 537 BC, 69 years after Daniel was carried captive to Babylon, 606 BC, a year before Cyrus, the king of Persia and the conqueror of Babylon, decreed to free the Jews to return to Jerusalem. Daniel wanted to know, what is the future for his people? What will happen to them after they would return to Israel? Right? Remember, Jeremiah the prophet told them that they would be in captivity for 70 years. And so, this is the picture that was given. And it tells us, from the year in which the decree was given in 445 BC for the rebuilding of the temple, right, to the completion of the temple in 396 BC, 49 years. Right? And then there would be another period of 62 weeks leading to the time when Christ would come, right? The completion of the temple, Then the time when Jesus Christ would come, 434 years to the time when he would be crucified on the cross to take away the sins of the world. This is a period described as the 69 weeks, verse 25 of Daniel chapter 9. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem," right? So 445 BC, we know from history that the decree was given to rebuild Jerusalem, all right? "And to restore and build Jerusalem," verse 25 says, "unto the Messiah prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." What is that? Well, the Hebrew word translated as weeks, right, does not mean a week of days, but rather it means a seven. Like the English word, we use a dozen. A dozen means 12. Right? So a seven describes a period of time. Right? And 77s describe a period of 70 times 7 years, or 490 prophetic years. So Daniel was given a vision of Israel's history for the next, well, period of time. And the first period of time, right, is described in verse 25, right, is as the 483 years, right, all the way from the building of the temple to the death, the crucifixion of Messiah, leaving a last 7 years, right, that is unsaid. Right, verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." So 60 is 60, right? 1 is 20. And 2 weeks of 14, right, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, our text tells us. "And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of war, desolations are determined." And so he's telling us, right, that there would come a time of desolation when Messiah is cut off. The next slide. Now, this is a description of what the text is saying to us. All right, there are two periods of desolation that is being described here. All right, the first one is what Jesus has already told us in the beginning of the text in Matthew chapter 24, right, from verses 1, in verse 2, right, predicting the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Right. But we are here speaking about another desolation that is going to come, and that's given in verse 27. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for a week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Right? If you look at the history of that transpired after this prophecy was given, right, you find that it was you understand that it was it took place in a comparative manner, during the time of the Grecian Empire, after Alexander the Great. You remember, after Alexander the Great, there were four generals. Right? Out of the four generals, there came two empires, right? Split in the north and the south. And out of it came one of it, the Seleucids. Right? And from there came a man called Antiochus Epiphanes. And he would be a man, right, that is described to go to the temple and desecrate the temple. Right? You see this in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. Right? It says here, "An arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." What is the abomination that is described here? Well, Antiochus sacrificed a soul, a pig, an unclean animal, on the altar in order to render the Jewish temple abominable to the Jews. And this was the abomination of desolation that was actually set up. Right? You see, when Daniel gave that prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, later on in Daniel chapter 11, there's another description, right, concerning this desolation. Was it the desolation that is described in Daniel chapter 9? Well, it is not, because in Daniel chapter 11, you find that it is describing the events in the Grecian Empire, right? And we know from history that indeed there was such a man, right, who came to Jerusalem and he desolated the temple and he set up a statue of a Greek god in the temple. And so at that time, the sacrifices of the Jews stopped and the temple was left desolate. This action of Antiochus in stopping the sacrifices desecrated the temple when he set up an idol in the temple. And this action of Antiochus would be repeated, right, in a time in the future, right, by the Antichrist, right, during the time of the Great Tribulation. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. There would come a man in the future to bring a future desolation. Daniel 9:27 says, "He, the prince that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many." Who is the many? With Israel. "For 1 week." What is 1 week? 7 years, as we said. Right? It's the prophetic description, right, of that is used there. And this prediction that there will be a future prince that will do what Antiochus did in the 2nd century AD. Right? And this is what our Lord is speaking about, right, in order to help us to see in context. Right, and a further light is given to us in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. Right, Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 says, "And from that time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." So there is a description. Right, this is a description of the time during the second half of the tribulation in which this desolation would take place. And so here in our slide, well, you see here a description, right, of the Great Tribulation that is going to come, right? And we look at the slide before. Okay, so you see, we are in that gap between the first 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy that gives us the time from the building of the second temple, the decree to build the second temple, to the time in which Messiah was crucified, AD 30. Right? This is the 483 years. Right? And if you would look, calculate in history, you'll be able to find that it's very exact. Okay, then there would be a time after the destruction our Lord predicted, right? What, not one stone will turn, not one stone will be left unturned, right, of the second temple. Right? This is a description of the judgment upon Israel, whereby Israel will no longer play a significant role in God's plan for a period of time. Right? Remember, in AD 70, Israel was scattered out of the land. And they no longer were a people in the land, no longer a light for God. And this light, this witness, right, was given to the local church. So we in the local church, right, is that witness for the Lord, right, during this time of the church age. Right? And we are speaking here, right, describing to you, right, a time that would come, right, that would culminate in the last 7 years in history, when Israel will be featured again in global affairs. And today, you know, we see that Israel is back in the land, correct? And if you were to look further down in our text, in verse 32 of Matthew 24, our Lord says, "Learn a parable of the fig tree. When this branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh." Right? This parable of the fig tree is a description of Israel. Right? That Israel is, if we look into history, 14th of May 1948, Israel is back in the land. And as we saw in the map, you know, in earlier, the map, maybe we go back, 1967, all right, 1967, war, Israel regained possession of Jerusalem. All right, so what are we speaking about here? Well, the Lord wants us to know that there will come a time, right, when Israel, right, will be featured and greatly again, and that there would be a man that is going to arise out of all the events that are shaping up in human history today, that would be called the capital A Antichrist. And that he would be a man who would demand the worship of the world. Right? And our Lord is describing here in verse 15 of our text to tell us that this Antichrist who would come, right, whom we saw in Antiochus Epiphanes as a earlier figure, right, would come in full force in the time to come. And he will stop all worship in Israel. And you see, as we think about this text, you'd find there are several questions that are raised here, right, concerning the present occupation of Israel in the city of Jerusalem. For this text to be fulfilled, you'll find that there would need that the temple be rebuilt again. Right? And today, you know, right, from our map earlier, we see that it is the temple site is the Dome of the Rock. Okay, you see the map. This is a map, the next one, of the Jerusalem temple. Right, right at the bottom there, the location, the Dome of the Rock, 15 minutes walk, right, from the Mount of Olives. Right? And so here we are saying that in order for all this to happen, well, a Jewish temple is first to be built, and then sacrifices reinstituted. And we know that in 1967, Israel regained Jerusalem. And today, if you look at the activities that is going on near the Temple Mount, in the Temple Mount, you see the fighting going on for possession, for control. And you find that the Lord telling us in the time of that tribulation, Israel would be able, right, to set up worship again, and that the Antichrist would come, and the Antichrist would desecrate the temple. Right, so this is an event that is yet future, that the Lord is predicting would take place. Right? So this is the first thing that he said concerning the great tribulation that he wants to highlight to us. Then second thing he would tell us is that there would be severe distress of the Jews. Right? You know today that they are in the land. Right? That piece of real estate lined by three continents, Africa, Europe, and Asia. And you know that, you know, for them to possess the land, it's a daily struggle. Right? They are fighting their enemy from all fronts. And the Lord tells us that there will come a time when the distress would be so great, right? They would see the Antichrist coming in to desolate the temple, and then the instruction given is that they are to flee to the mountains, right? Verse 16 says, and let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So the instruction, the event is very specific. Okay? And the prophet Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 14, describing this event, all right? It says here, Zechariah 14, verses 5 to 7. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal, yea, and ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, and it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that the evening time shall be as light. So this is a description of the time leading up to the battle of Armageddon. Right? If you turn back the slide, you see here the Great Tribulation, 7 years, right? And then at the end of the 7 years is the Battle of Armageddon. Okay? So the abomination of desolation will take place in the middle of the 7 year. And from that time onwards, all the way to the end, right? At the end of the 3.5 years, right? Would lead to the Battle of Armageddon, where Christ would return and the armies of the world would gather themselves to fight. And Israel, right, the battle would be to take control of Jerusalem. All right, and so we are describing here a time of great distress. When they see this happening, the Antichrist taking that action, then you'll find that they would have to flee. This is describing the activities, right, concerning the Jews. Verse 17 says, and let him which is at the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child and to them which give suck in those days. It will be a terrifying time. It will be a time where escape would be difficult. But the Lord provided them a way. Right? Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall there be great tribulation. Right? What is going on? Well, you see here that God is going to judge, right, the Antichrist kingdom from now on in this second half of the tribulation. After the desolation was done, the world would be battled by God's judgment. The Bible tells us that there would be seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and seven bowl judgments that would come during this seven-year tribulation. Right? And the Antichrist would be dominating the entire world. He would have absolute economic and political control. Right? Every man and woman would have to take the mark. Right? And all who do not take the mark cannot buy and sell. So he would have total control over the entire earth. And next slide. And you'd find that there would be all this great disturbances and calamity happening around the world. Next slide. Beginning with the seal judgment that is described for us in Revelation chapter 6 onwards. Right? Seven seals, followed by seven trumpets, followed by seven bowls. Great judgment coming upon the earth. Because men and women just don't want God. All right, and you would find that during that time, right, God would gather 144,000 men in Israel to preach the gospel to the whole world. God would gather two men, two witnesses, right, to preach the gospel. And then God would send an angel to preach the gospel, right? A time when men would have no more excuse. And the Bible tells us, and the Lord wants us to know, that there is this time of great judgment that is coming upon the earth, and that and that during that time, right, we said that there would be great distress in Israel, and verses 23 to 25 tell us that there will be lying signs and wonder, verses 24 and 25. Right? The Antichrist would demand worship, and this would be the greatest deception that is taking place. Right? And he would imitate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This would be the greatest lying sign and wonder that is going to take place. And this is described for us in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, 5, and 6. Right? It tells us how that the Antichrist would arise and how he would be killed, and after that he would be resurrected again. This would be the greatest sign of a man showing himself to be as God. Right? It is totally in conflict, right, with the Christ that we know, who actually rose from the dead and or is alive forevermore. You see there the Great Tribulation. You see there the church age. What we have described to you is the great tribulation to come, whereby the world will be in such great rebellion against their creator God that it is totally wicked. Just like the time before God judged the world with a global flood. And the Bible also tells us that before the great tribulation would come, the church would be raptured. The Bible tells us that the church would not go through this time of great tribulation. And the Lord wants us to realize that we are in those events leading up to the Great Tribulation. Today you read in the news all the things that is happening between Israel and the nations, the Arab nations surrounding that battle that is going on for control of Jerusalem. We know that it would lead to the Jews having that supremacy, and yet, led by the Antichrist, they would come and they would want to take control of Israel, of Jerusalem. And the armies of the world would be marching towards Jerusalem. Right, you see that, you know, today the happenings in Syria. Right, that is one of the routes that the armies must pass in order to reach Jerusalem. Right, and the Battle of Armageddon, the Plain of Megiddo, is the last point before they reach Jerusalem. And so the Lord wants us to understand, right, that we are so near to that time. And the Lord wants us to be prepared. And the Lord wants us to understand, to realize that really this world and its pleasures and its kingdom would all be blown away. Right? Would all be destroyed. The Bible tells us that, you know, in the book of Revelation, that when this destruction comes, there will be a great earthquake, where all the islands of the world would be fled away. Nothing left. So if we think that we can continue, you know, to build a kingdom upon this earth, you'll find that you would be very, very disappointed. And the Lord tells us that we are to build not an earthly kingdom, but an eternal kingdom. And the Lord wants us to build our lives such that it would matter for eternity. And so if you know of the things to come, then you realize that, you know, you don't want to be a part of this world system leading to the rise of the Antichrist. And we see all this coming to fruition. And personally, I've had opportunities to study the book of Revelation. And the message to me is this, that there is no hope of mankind outside Jesus Christ. And that if we would persist to build a kingdom of this world, in this world, we would be very, very disappointed. And the Lord wants us to have a new mindset, to understand that, you see, after the coming of Christ, would begin the millennium. Millennium means Christ would rule physically on earth. Right? All human kingdoms would be destroyed. No more human kingdoms. Right? For the last 7,000-8,000 years of human history, you know that man cannot rule. Right? It has been disaster after disaster after disaster. So when the Antichrist would arise, he would be that only first world dictator, never before. Right? Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar was, empire was vast. The Persian Empire was vast. The Roman Empire was vast, but not global. This is global. Right? And how it would be destroyed. And Christ would come and rule upon us. Everything would be created anew again. And the Lord tells us that all this is coming soon. And the saints of God would be ruling with Christ, who would be raptured and who would return at the end of the 7-year tribulation, when Christ would defeat the armies of the world. It's very interesting, because today, you know, just 2 months ago, we see the news that about extraterrestrial. Okay, that there would be some kind of extraterrestrial being. Right? If you look at the Battle of Armageddon, what is it? It is between Christ and the world. How can they explain all this extraterrestrial being? Well, the Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And a time is coming when the church is going to be raptured. And how can you explain the rapture of the church when men and women would disappear suddenly? Extraterrestrial. Well, this is how the world would explain it. And that's why, you know, recently many telescopes are mounted all over the world, right, to look to the skies. Right. Well, fallen men who have the opportunity to know the truth, understood that Christ is coming again. And it will be a consummation of human history. And we are seeing, you know, all the posturing, how to explain all this. Well, may our eyes be open. May we see and understand where we are in human history. And may we be prepared during this time to do the will of God, to usher souls to the kingdom of God. You realize that this is all that matters in the final analysis. May God help us to see in perspective this truth and help us to be in this battle with all your time, your resources for the souls of men and women who are perishing and would be perishing. May God help us to see and understand the times that we are living in. And may God raise a generation of His people who would do His will during this time. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to praise and thank Thee for showing us the truth concerning how the world is running out of control with depraved men trying to solve their problems by their depraved means. O Lord, we see disaster after disaster. And Lord, we see that there is no peace. And we see the hearts of men and women crying for true peace. And we realize, Lord, that unless Thou would come and restore peace, there would be no peace in human kingdom. So Lord, help us to understand and see the nearness of Thy coming. And help us to be prepared so that when Thou would comes to receive Thy church, we would not be left behind, but truly we would be taken, translated, as what the Bible described of Enoch and of Elijah, taken to heaven in a whirlwind. O Lord, may Thou help us to see in perspective and help us to realize the times that we are in. And live our lives aright in Thy sight. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.